Welcome back to React Native Radio Podcast. Brought to you by Twitter. Turns out if you have $44 billion, you can edit a tweet. Episode 233, React 18 and the future of React Native.
Hey Mazen, how much sleep did you get last night?
Probably a total of 4 hours.
Did you have someone interrupting your sleep or what's the story there?
So my wife and I have a, today, 5-week-old, and it's safe to say his sleep is a roller coaster. And as much as I hate roller coasters and I love my sleep, it's been a rough couple 5 weeks, but we're getting there. We're figuring him out and I think he's figuring us out.
I promise they do start to sleep eventually.
Yeah, when is that?
Well, Ellie's 3, so I'm still waiting, but...
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, congratulations and welcome back.
Thank you.
Obviously, if you've been listening to the podcast religiously, Mazen's been gone for a few episodes. He was on paternity leave, and we are so happy that he is back. You'll also probably notice that I am not Jamin.
What?
What?
Oh.
I've been working on my Jamin impression, but it's not there yet. He's in Florida having way more fun than the rest of us. He's already been to Disney World a couple times. He's sending us pictures to make us jealous. But yeah, he is gone for a couple weeks. But, you know, we can do it without him. Mm-hmm. Plus, I get to call myself the CTO when he's gone. That's the deal.
There you go. All worth it.
Also, we do have a special guest co-host with us today, our fabulous owner and CIO, Chief Innovation Officer at Infinite Red, Gant Laborde.
What?
Woo! What?
Yeah!
How you doing? How you doing, Gant?
I'm just happy to be here as a discount Jamin. I'm great value Jamin is what happens.
Wish.com Jamin.
That's right. Hold on. Sisu Tractor React Native.
There you go.
Of course, I'm Robin Hines, obviously, your host for the day and friendly software engineer at Infinite Red. I live in Portland, Oregon with my husband and 2 kids. And I'm joined, as I just mentioned, I'm joined by my fantabulous
fancy
co-hosts, Mazen and Gant. Mazen lives in Durham, North Carolina with his wife and newborn son, who we've seen some pictures of. He's pretty cute.
Thank you.
And Gant, as I said, is a owner at Infinite Red. He's a New Orleans native. He has a long list of titles, which I can't remember and won't list. You can catch him speaking at DevNexus next week and React-a-thon in the park as well. Before we get into our topic for today, I do have to say that this episode is sponsored by Infinite Red. Infinite Red is a premier React Native design and development agency located fully remote in the US and Canada. If you're looking for React Native expertise for your next React Native project, hit us up. You can learn more on our website, infinite.red/react-native. And don't forget to mention that you heard about us through the React Native Radio podcast. Also, imagine working with a team like Mazen and Gant. Who wouldn't want to work with them? If you're a senior level React Native engineer located in the US or Canada, go to careers.infinite.red. We'd love to hear from you.
I just want to say that Infinite Red is so much better than that company, Finite Blue. You do not want to work for them. That's just not as good. So
stay clear.
You're considering, React Native company to go for Infinite Red.
Infinitely better.
I'm guessing they work in Flutter?
Oh, Finite Blue. Yeah.
See, if you're a Flutter dev out there listening to this, which I don't know why you would be, but a prime opportunity to start a consultancy doing Flutter. Call yourself Finite Blue. All right. Let's get into our topic, which today is we're talking about React 18 and how that fits into the future of React Native.
Yeah.
So if you missed it, React 18 landed just a couple weeks ago. It's a major, major release, introducing a lot of new features that have been in the works for a while, specifically around the concept of concurrency. So if you don't know what concurrency is, Mazen, Gant, what's concurrency? Why do we care?
I think the best way to describe concurrency is the way React kind of posted in their blog. Think of it as a way to prepare multiple versions of your UI at the same time. So I think that's really important because that, you know, gives you a lot of performance improvements. Some people might be thinking, well, multiple UIs, that should bog things down. Mm-hmm. Why would I want to, you know, load 2 to 3 different versions of my UI and then all of a sudden have my performance boost? Well, as we'll get to later on, React 18 does a really good job of letting you load multiple versions of your UI. And that's valuable because it unlocks a lot of different abilities for you as a developer. We'll also talk about what they call priority queues and multiple buffering later, but just know that you can load multiple versions of your UI at the same time.
Yeah, to me, you know, you've always thought of React as synchronous. You know, we look mm-hmm. at a linear form. And when you're looking at something linearly and you have a very synchronous sort of structure to it, the best thing that's helped me kind of feel more comfortable is that, you know, the benefits of asynchronous, you have the options for being able to be optimized. You have the options for when something else is interrupted or has to be interrupted or waited, you can choose a better path of action. You know, I guess one way I would say it is like, you wouldn't want to go down each maze and then just get all the way to the end before you can turn around and then go find another path. So in a certain sense here, for me, and it's not probably exactly the same, but just thinking of React 17 as a very synchronous sort of framework, and then think of 18 as more asynchronous.
It's like if you're a developer and you have to run some like super long running script.
Right.
And there's all these memes on like comics and stuff about developers like running their tests for, and it takes like 45 minutes. So they're like working, quote unquote, and they don't have to do anything else. So they're just like sitting at their desk with their feet up while yes. this script runs. But instead of just like doing nothing while that runs, if they could get other things done, that's concurrency. It's not having to sit and wait.
Shushing a baby to sleep in between. Got it.
So Mazen, you're quite interruptible is what you're saying.
Yes. yes, parents are very familiar with the concept of concurrency.
Oh, yes. Yeah, concurrency and sort of, it seems like it's a sign of maturity for any programming language. You know, when you first see a programming language, it's just, what can it do? And yeah, I say programming language, like I'm completely conflating programming languages with a front-end framework of React, right? Okay. but it's the same story over and over again. So I'm going to play my old man hat. I'm just, hold on, where is it? There you go.
I don't know. You can borrow one from Jamin.
That's right. But it's a sign of maturity to think about things in both concurrency and parallelism. It's also a significant optimization, which I have to say, kudos to the React team and, you know, also the React Native team. They've had a significantly wonderful working mechanism. And rather than adding more and more bells and whistles, they've sort of gotten down to the engine, the core, and then worked on the efficiency of it. And I think that's what we're seeing with how 18 and React Native are coming together.
So you actually just led into what I'm about to say really nicely. But I want to make sure that people listening are thinking, what, this is a React Native podcast. Why are you talking about React?
Mm-hmm.
So before we sort of dive into the features of this React release, I want to make sure we're keeping in mind how this ties back to React Native and why it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this all feeds back into the new architecture, which is the buzzword of the year. If you're building things in React Native, I'm sure you've heard the term, the new architecture.
Yeah.
Just this big, big rewrite that's coming. And much of what's happening in that rewrite is critically dependent on the concurrent features that came with this new React 18 release.
Robin, I would, if we need a cooler name than the new architecture. Can you give us anything that would be better than that?
React Native Synergy. React Native Unprecedented.
This summer, React Native Synergy.
I think we just need to go full corporate buzzword. So yeah, as we talk about these React features, just keep in mind that all of these are very closely tied to the features that are coming down the pike with React Native Synergy.
if that takes off, that's your fault.
I would like credit for that.
Yes.
Right. So where should we start? There's so much here. I want to talk about the sort of root, if you will, which is kind of a pun, if you know what I'm going to say. The biggest sort of visible change that React developers will notice and have to actionably change in their apps is that instead of using React DOM render, they're going to have to call a new API called Create Root. And this is significant because in React, the root is sort of the top level data structure that React tracks to re-render. In the legacy API, it was just sort of attached to a DOM node that the user couldn't see and didn't have access to. But now you're creating a root by calling this Create Root API. So you actually have access to the root and all of its concurrent features.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. React DOM render sort of imposes this idea that, will you please let this React code inside of your already existing website, you know? And maybe that was great in 2013. But I think now, you know, it's the core of what people are building their websites on. So right. It is the root. So
we're not, we're not sort of like attaching ourselves to like, hey, can we sit here? Yeah. No, it's like, no, we are the tree.
Yes, I like that. We went from, can I sit at the cool kids table? We are the cool kids table.
Yes. So that's probably going to be the most visible breaking change for React users. I don't know if React Native users will see that so much, but. And then one of the coolest and probably will be the most used feature coming with this release is automatic batching, Yes. Which is really awesome. So what automatic batching means is if you have multiple state changes outside of a normal event handler like onclick or onpress before, if you had multiple state changes in like an async function or a timeout function or something like that, each one would cause a re-render. But now with concurrency, those will be batched. So if you have three state changes in a row, it just re-renders once, which is huge. Mm-hmm.
That's game changing. Mm-hmm. That's really good. Because sometimes I think I've run into this in the past where, let's say, you know, we're changing a flag and a count, similar to the documentation they have. Sometimes, you know, we're checking the count. Let's say the count starts off as undefined, for example. We're checking if the count actually exists before changing it and whatnot. But now that we're only having one re-render happen, we know that it's going to come back with a value.
Yeah.
So you don't really have to do a lot of your checks because instead of accounting for the first re-render and then the second re-render to then make sure your UI doesn't crash, you know you're just going to get one re-render come back with all your data that you're kind of expecting from that function or timeout. So, you know, setting a flag or setting a count, you'll know that it'll be set in one rather than two.
Yeah. It's weird to me because it's one of those things that was a gotcha for React and React Native. You were wondering, and we all kind of got a little bit better as sort of like a re-render detective for a while. Like, why like is
a little,
this?
A spidey sense for like, okay, this is going to have a lot of re-renders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would have to, yeah, like a, you'd have to go figure out, you're like, this doesn't make sense. Just do the things I want you to do here. And then you'd move something above one line, and then it would do that. And you would just lie to everybody and say, yeah, I fixed it. I totally understand why. But no, there's like all these weird rules, and you kind of see this. I know that here we're fans of using Mobx State Tree a bit, but there's Jamin was showing me this one where if you are modifying in Mobx State Tree, and I'm sorry if you don't use Mobx State Tree out there, just follow through with this. This is like a little gotcha that you're showing me, that if you are you're firing an action, but then you have an async, you await something inside there, and then you do something after that, the way the promise is built out, you wouldn't have that value back in time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the same problems that we were seeing inside of async with re-renderings, is that if you're setting state after async, if you're kind of like dealing with these, all of a sudden you're like, what's going on? And you had to know some magic secret that was like, okay, well, you have to know these are coming here. And I feel like people tripped over this constantly. The fact that the engine is going to, that the framework itself is going to fix that for you and batch these processes. This is like, I don't know if I can keep up with those.
It feels like a really nice natural progression after they introduced hooks. Yeah. Because, I mean, now you're, with use state, you're managing all your state in these little bits and pieces instead of one, like, huge state object. And so, naturally, you're calling, like, you're updating state multiple times. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of introduced this problem. And now this is sort of the resolution. Like, okay, so now you can update your little pieces of state all in a row, and we'll make sure that you're only re-rendering once.
Right. Because let's just face it, React is a glorified diffing and re-rendering engine, right? Right. Deep down at the core.
It's basically Git. Can we replace Git with React?
Oh my goodness. That's all right, you just inspired
$1 million idea.
That's their TED talk.
Another feature of this release is called transitions. Mazen, can you tell me a little bit about those?
Yeah. React kind of distinguishes these between urgent updates and transition updates. So urgent updates, kind of think about it like when you're typing into an input or you're clicking a button, you don't want a delay. So if I'm typing in an input like hello, I don't want to, you know, press the H and then have a delay and then the H kind of shows up a couple seconds later. So these are kind of like urgent, get it done right away so that user doesn't really see any glitches essentially on the screen. Transition updates, basically, you know, when you're transitioning from one UI to the other, they will be interrupted by urgent updates. So whether if you're making a change within a transition, the urgent update would happen and then the transition would kind of go. Now, one big thing with the transition update is it does come with a, I wouldn't call it a hook. It's called a start transition function. And then within that, there's like a callback, and that's when your transition happens. So that's how you kind of delay your, start your transition, delay, you know, search for a query or, set an input, set a value along the way.
So I think a good example of this concept would be like if you have a whole list of things and you have the ability to search or filter those things, and you can filter by clicking buttons or you can filter down by like entering in a keyword that filters the list. Interacting with those like filter buttons or entering text into a search bar, those are like urgent. Those are the urgent updates that you want immediate feedback. But then refreshing the list and showing the reduced list, that's the transition update. That's the sort of the update that can take a little bit longer.
Totally. I think that's a very good example, Robin. I think one, when I was kind of reading into it, the thing that kind of came to my mind was it kind of sounded like the transition parts were almost like debouncing. So, you know, debounce, we kind of wait for the certain intervals along the way and then kind of return the value, the function, create a search. This kind of seemed like that, right? You know, what's urgent is the typing in our filter. What's not urgent can wait for us to kind of finish typing is then showing up our filter. So then it's kind of like the debounce. When we're done typing, boom, show me my next transition state.
Totally. Yeah, that does seem similar to debouncing.
Yeah. And the concept of urgent updates for when you're typing in, we're talking about, and there might still be people who don't manage the state of like a text component. And so we're talking about managed components where we are telling them, we control all of the state of the item, because and this is an interesting moment, because there are still people who just let things manage their own state in a certain degree. But once you start to really get in there and you're telling something what the value is, I found that just as simple as having a text box and managing the state of that, you do see a little flicker sometime. You see a little problem sometime. And originally, it was just kind of okay. People were like, okay, you know, hey, at least I'm able to get this to work. And I'm glad, because those kinds of problems aren't acceptable anymore, you know. And I think that with the new architecture, specifically with React 18 and urgent updates and those kinds of things coming through, we actually have the tools to manage those flickers, those weird moments where it shows something you didn't want to see. You can actually dig down and identify and work with those. And that, I think that's really, really important, because it just shows... we're hitting a new bar. We're hitting a new gear with the expectations of what React engineers should be able to do.
Definitely. This is definitely feels like a new era for this framework.
Yeah.
And just to tie it back to React Native, again, I'm guessing this will have a huge impact with Fabric and with JSI.
Yes.
Yes.
Which if you don't remember, JSI stands for JavaScript Interface. It's essentially what's going to replace the bridge. It's the new way of communicating between React Native and Native that doesn't rely on these like JSON blobs going slowly back and forth over the bridge. So much, much quicker.
And you mentioned Fabric for Fabric rendering integrates with React Suspense and all these concurrent features as well inside of React Native.
Yep. And these will all, I'm sure, take advantage of these transition concepts, sort of concurrent UI batching. Let's move on to suspense features. Suspense is another word that you hear a lot.
I know. Should we tell everybody what suspense is at this point?
Or should we just keep them
in suspense?
In suspense. So what's suspense? What is it?
So I've used suspense in the past, and it was very limited in its scope. You kind of had to use react.lazy to create your suspense components, and then it kind of worked in that sense. Now I think, well, now it sounds like in React 18, it's being moved into its own component. Think of it as a UI loading state. While you wait for your data to return from an API, you can kind of have a loading spinner, whatever your design team kind of wants in that.
Yeah.
So moving away from the limited version, now it's expanded to being used concurrently. And obviously, you know, we talked about the transition. When combining it with the transition API, I think you kind of have a good, seamless, unsuspenseful transition, maybe, while leaving everyone in suspense.
We may or may not. Who will know? we throw away our re-rendering hats to grab suspense hats. Okay, it's worth it. Perfect. The simplest one for me is that people used to wait for some kind of asynchronous thing to load, and then you would do this disgusting code that you'd have to explain to new people at JavaScript, where you would say that thing that loaded and the component that needs to like actually consume it,
which is so normal.
Yeah. It's so normal.
So
now.
Normal, but it's like not normal.
Yeah. It's one of those things that's like a language shock. You know, just the concepts.
What are you doing?
Yeah, well, this has this thing that it needs, so it has to exist, and then I'll go ahead and deal with it. And you see this constantly in code. And then, of course, what you could do is go write a component that says, okay, give me what you want as a child element, and then give me what you want me to show them as a property, and then what I will do is I will switch them out for you. And we could all write that tomorrow, but unless that was like actually tied into the framework, if that was actually tied into the benefits of what's coming through with React 18, it would just be that simple. We might as well just keep the and. And so to me, it's going to make it a lot cleaner to read code, componentize that logic, actually tie into the framework a little bit more. Hopefully, if anything, it actually keeps the code in a little bit less suspenseful because you know what it's actually doing.
I'm thinking I'm going to miss the and.
Oh, yeah. You always miss the... Here's the curse of being witty, right? You're often the only person who enjoyed it.
Are you saying I'm witty, Kent?
I'm saying you're probably too smart and therefore witty, and I would not want to be the person who has to code with you. I don't want to be left behind.
Awesome. So suspense, I think, was sort of already in React 17 optionally. But now with React 18, you can also use it on the server. So if you're doing server rendering, you can now use suspense, which is really cool. And I think it also works with code splitting now.
Yeah.
So the idea is your server can render sort of placeholder HTML while continuing to load the rest of your actual HTML. So like the really slow parts of your UI won't block the rest of your UI from loading.
Yeah. It's obviously very exciting for the React folks, more so than I would say the React native folks on this
one. Yes, definitely.
Because you see React is really working well with the back end, sort of front end kind of coming together a little bit more. And then for React Native, we're more excited about it.
Yeah, we don't so much get the back end, front end. what is a server?
Is that where I store some? Is that my Firestore or my AWS DynamoDB? Is that what's going on?
There's a reason they call those serverless.
Right, yeah.
We don't like servers here.
If we could just store everything without it, it would be fantastic. But it definitely feels like we as React Native developers will be more inclined with Fabric, with the interoperability features that we've already kind of talked about. And this one is kind of like a neat, it's a neat thing.
Oh, that's cool. We're happy for you. what else? Is there anything else worth mentioning? Looks like there's some new hooks.
Mm-hmm. There's one that I kind of really like. It's use ID. It just generates a unique ID on the client and the server. So if you've
there
ever
you go used... using that word server again.
Right. Fancy. I think in the past I used to use the package UUID to kind of get a random ID. So kind of, you know, we now go... You don't have to have that package anymore, and you can kind of use this use ID hook, and it just kind of use, you know, const ID equals use ID function. And yeah, I think easiest place that I've seen it used very frequently is accessibility APIs, where you need your unique IDs.
Nice.
Or if you're generating a unique ID for your user or whatever, you know, your backend. Essentially,
I wonder if it could also be used for like unique keys in a flat list.
Yeah,
cool. I could see that.
Well, how are those unique? Are those GUIDs or something, or do you know? Because I don't trust GUIDs. They're just mathematically inclined not to have a collision. But you know, someday that's going to happen to you, right? That's
one in a billion chance that there'll be a collision.
That means there's seven people every year.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yes. So you're saying there's a chance, right? Yeah. I don't like my UUIDs being IOUs, so
I'm okay. I'm not 100% sure, because kind of looking at the documentation, it doesn't say what is generated. It just says, you know, generates a unique ID. I do see a note that says it generates a string that includes a colon token.
Oh.
What?
This helps ensure that the token is unique and it's not supported in CSS selectors or APIs like query select all.
The colon token is where you're reading the token and then you pause and then you just go on.
I wish they had an example of that. That's a good point, Gant.
Dynamic IDs are
a fake, yeah.
Base 32 strings whose binary representation corresponds to the position of a node in a tree.
Yeah.
There's an algorithm.
I will specifically say that fear of guids is has only kept me up at least three nights. It's not real. You know, my therapist says that guids won't get me, so it's okay.
It's not. It doesn't look like it's a guid. No. It looks like it's a like.
There will only ever be one.
It's got its own algorithm.
Lie to me, Robin. It's got a colon to protect it, to make sure. It's got all kinds of things. I'll never get a collision, right?
Never, ever. They will pay you $1 million if you get a collision.
Oh, hold on. I have some code to write.
Awesome. Well, I think that pretty much covers most of the new cool features for React 18.
Mm-hmm.
React Native, unfortunately, will not use React 18 until the new architecture releases, which we haven't been given a date for yet.
Well, the new React Native architecture can be enabled. So here's a fun fact. It can be enabled in React 68.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which comes out soon, right?
By the time this podcast is out.
By the time this podcast is out.
Yeah, you can actually go back and enable the new... So React Native Synergy can be enabled in 68, but there's a lot more, it's sitting there in plain view in the open source, and we will be seeing continued documentation coming in about how to go ahead and transfer over that. So by the time this comes out, you could go check that out.
We will be working to enable the new architecture in Ignite soon.
Oh, yeah.
So watch out for that.
Very nice.
So I think that about wraps it up for React 18. If you're looking forward to Turbo Modules and JSI and Fabric in React Native.
C++.
C++. In doubt, just say C++.
I've been doing that. That's actually my whole career. C++ is that old. So I say improved performance and C++, and people keep hiring me, so it'll work here too.
Keep your eye out for all of these features and more in React Native Synergy, the future of React Native. If you'd like to nerd out more about React Native, check out Jamin's Twitch stream at rn.live or youtube.infinite.red. He should be back by the time this episode comes out. You can also join our Slack community at community.infinite.red. We have almost 2,000 React Native developers in there now.
Mm.
And I'm sure a lot of them know a lot about the new architecture more than we do and would love to talk about it. Where can people find the two of you on Twitter? Gant, where can they find you?
Yes. Well, you can find me at GantLaBoard on Twitter. And you could also get a list of places that I'll be speaking at my website, GantLaBoard.com. My website's down right now. I'm doing some updates. So
awkward.
If you listen to this podcast and it's up, go Gant. If not, those fixes took longer than expected.
Are you telling me you didn't upload like a little under construction error page?
His SSL certificate expired.
Yeah, I got in an SSL infinite loop. So what's really funny is if you try to force SSL on your website and then you try to force it a second way, just because you're like, oh, well, maybe I'll just do it two ways. Don't do that, because then you end up in some weird infinite loop world where you can't just don't do it.
TLDR, Gant messed up his website.
Dude, SSL certificates are not as easy as they should be. I know they're getting easier. I still find ways to screw them up, okay?
You should just use GoDaddy.com.
Oh, hey, how much are they paying you, Robin?
They'd have to pay me a lot. And Mazen, where can they find you on the internet, on the interwebs?
So I'm at Mazen Chami on Twitter.
Perfect. And you can find me at Robin_Hines with an E at the end. And you can find React Native Radio at React Native RDIO on Twitter. As always, thanks to our producer and editor, Todd Wirth, our assistant editor and episode release coordinator, Jed Bartoski, our designer, Justin Husky, and our guest coordinator, Derek Greenberg. Thanks to our sponsor, Infinite Red. Check us out at infinite.red/react-native. A special thanks to all of you listening today. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you next time.